could get a private equity to invest in a Three Guys podcast.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess my question to you guys is, where do you see this going? And like, what is the goal of this podcast, right?
Ryan.
Your question is, what's our goal? So it's evolved just in the last 30 days since we've been doing this. It's no state what our goal. You know, I'm goal-driven. I'm metric-driven. I've been a sales professional for 20 years. And I played sports for probably 20 years before that. Yeah. These two I probably met when I was in the seventh grade, probably right when I met you. So, so that long I've been looking at numbers and stats and all that stuff. So one thing that we're doing now is we're looking at downloads. So we're just trying to see what people are attracted to. And, you know, we talk about past people we've had on the show, right, Dave? So we've had on Mike Owens. And yeah. Derek was like, but this is Mike Owens. And like, we try to figure out what he does and try to understand it. And then Derek sent some pictures. I'm like, well, yeah, it's kind of interesting. But his show is doing unbelievable. People love hearing about people like Mike. And I think you know Mike, who said, hey, I'm going to try something different. I don't know much about it. I'm going to learn as I go. I know a little bit about maybe the craft piece of it. So there's people that gravitate towards very specific things and how my mind operates. And we talked about how we're going to sort of develop the brand. That's another thing I want to talk to you about is branding on another show. How do we develop this brand? You know, Brett, 78 Brettsky Productions is Brett. And you'll see me throw that out. And that's this guy right here. You know, he works hard on a lot of the editing. I'm doing the editing on the YouTube. So our goal is, how do we sort of bring our talents together, our personalities, these two guys in particular, because I think they're the best when they go at each other. There's nothing better than that. So how do we sort of bring all that together? And we have people like you that have and we could go on for 3 days talking about stuff. And then we put it on Facebook. And
yeah, right.
A kid that you were in eighth grade, something would be like, hey, I remember him. So we could go down that road,
right.
Or, go towards the CEO, Dave, the CEO, tell us about branding. Tell us about business development. Tell us about the tools. So there's so many different ways that we can go. So my vision is in over the next couple of months, at least, is to see what are people gravitating towards? Where should we spend our time? Because we're all busy. We all got regular jobs. I'm going to start traveling pretty soon. Yeah. I know Derek, he has his things that he do personally and as his Brett. So how do we utilize our time and focus on that very specific thing that we think people will gravitate towards? And then we talk about monetization, if there's a way that we can make money off of it, whether it's people want to advertise, whether it's people like Mike who wants to, hey, look, I can sell two of these through your 500 listeners.
You build on Mike, because I was talking to Mike today, and he said, Derek, I'm starting to get really busy, and he's getting 7 flags he wants done in a week. And before this, he was doing, a handful, right? And we had someone that reached out, that my brother, because we shared his pictures on our Facebook page, yeah, under Three Guys. Now, the woman didn't listen. I don't think she listened to the podcast, but she saw the Facebook post of what he did. Yeah. And that's how she gravitated towards him. So if we can help people, and like what you mentioned, you said you bought...
I bought two books.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I bought a book too, yeah, right? So, that if we're helping people build their business, giving a platform for everyday people to speak that would never be on. The woman we had on yesterday, she's never listened to podcasts. She's never been on one, right? People like to talk about themselves, and they don't get this opportunity because, these other podcasts are maybe geared towards people that, they're CEOs at next levels, or they're celebrities and stuff like that, that they can't get on this show or in a regular show, and they get shit. Like Mike, that opened the door for him. Like Brian was saying, he's got one of the highest hits on the downloads. Wow. And he's getting he's getting a lot of business out of it.
What the thing with the Mike episode, and I love that episode, is that Mike's relatable, man. I think at the end of the day, I think at the end of the day, you want someone who's relatable to people. And, Mike speaks from the heart. He's a guy that I knew growing up, but I think the more people you bring on, you want to get them to a point where you can find a way that your listeners can relate to them. Right.
And you're another example. You're talking as a CEO. Some people would listen to a CEO like, oh, I don't listen to a CEO. He's going to be boring. He's going to be like stuffy. And but the stories you're telling in the way you're telling it and how you care about your employees and being a leader, that's motivation. And that's how that's what people want to hear.
And yeah, you can also hear it in your voice, man.
Like, yeah,
you got charisma, man. Like you're a people person. Like, yeah, like you get it, dude. Like
everything you're on. Dave Leonardo.
Yeah, that's Brian Azarian.
Tom Bergeron, man. Awesome guy. Yeah, that Haverhill's finest. By the way, I do want to confirm one thing with you guys. You guys, I almost looking at you guys as also a way to document kind of some maybe behavioral historical facts, right?
Yeah.
I think that's something a cool thing that you guys can maybe add to your segment is maybe educate people even from Haverhill that may not know some of the historical cool things from Haverhill. But I've learned more and more as I've, I guess, lived away from Haverhill, some of the cool things about Haverhill. But correct me if I'm wrong. Was Macy's
in
Haverhill?
Original Macy's in Haverhill.
Right where A1 Deli is.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, Roland. So can I tell you the story with that? So here's the story behind that.
Do we have a choice?
Yes, you can. I can mute you and disconnect you. So Dave, there's so many ways we can go. So Roland Macy, he was from Nantucket.
Okay.
So that's where he came to Haverhill, and he started his own dry goods store. And he like invented credit card, not like the plastic credit card, but paying on credit and all that kind of stuff. Right. And Haverhill, the library has this thing called the special collections, but you can't get in. It's like Fort Knox because they don't have the manpower to have it. So they have all the maps and everything like that. It's unbelievable. It's like my dad, I don't know if you'll mind about it. My dad is big into maps, old maps around Haverhill, because Haverhill, Methuen and Salem used to be one. So I guess my point is like, if you go into that spot, there's flyers of Macy's having a parade here in Haverhill. So it's funny because you and I talked about do they have you come back? Like you never hear it. You never hear that Macy's has a connection here. You don't hear about
a lot of people don't know.
There's a Supreme Court Justice Moody, which is Moody School here in Haverhill. That's a Supreme Court Justice who was from Haverhill, lived over his house. You can see his house. So there is a lot. Derek and I had a business idea about 15, 20 years ago about building a website
Wasn't an app? We were thinking about doing an app, right?
Yeah, it was something where it was about specific local history to towns. So if you were to go to, because Derek lives in Salisbury, right? So if you were to go to Salisbury, like what's relevant about Salisbury? What's here? Like what is here that someone who's not from here would be interested in, but they're interested in Revolutionary War or this or they're ocean people. What happened here during so how do you integrate all this information? Like, so from just talk Haverhill for a second. There was about a time frame where I read about 5 or 6 books. And there's a book that was written about Haverhill, the history of Haverhill. It was written in 1860 by Samuel Chase. If you've not ever heard of it before,
you can probably I have heard of him.
So it's a very, like the Hannah Dustin story is in there, but it was written literally in 1860 about the original founding. So you go from the founding up to 1860. And I've read that book twice. It's tough to read because it's written Old English, so it's a little tricky to read. But there's parts of it that are like, but it talks about like the drunks over on one side of the town. Like it's a fascinating story, and and then the Hannah Dustin story, which I was going to talk to you about. But
I have to be honest with you, man. I'm a little embarrassed that my education, as much as I treasure it in Haverhill, I don't feel like I came away with a better understanding of Haverhill history after I left Haverhill than I did while I was in Haverhill.
So Swayze, Swayze's Field, you mentioned at least twice. Yeah. So Swayze, she's in the Haverhill Hall of Fame. Haverhill, me and us four aren't in there yet. I think we're on the list to get inducted. Well, Derek certainly, but
no, but I didn't go to Haverhill High though. That was
Bergeron's in it. But Swayze, Swayze was like, she used to ride horses around Haverhill. It's like, I'll see if I can text you some of these stories, because most of them are online. There's a woman in the Haverhill, she's in the Haverhill Hall of Fame. This is all true. I'm not even trying to be funny with you. She was a communist sympathizer.
Okay.
If you look at her biography, she was a part of like the Workers' Party, and she used to go to Russia. This was like in the early 1900s.
Why was she in the Hall of Fame?
Because she was like a performer. She was like a singer or something.
Oh, she wasn't because she was a communist, though. No, I'm asking. No, seriously. That's where she was going. Well, that's what I was wondering. I'm like,
listen, I don't want to hear about you.
No, I'm asking a serious question. You said she was communist. I was like, what is she in the Hall of Fame for?
Right. But clearly she made her name to fame and other things. And then she just turned into a communist.
No, I got it. You know what? But
so that's Brian wants to focus on her being a communist. That's all he cared about.
Well, she's the Hall of Fame. But
But yeah, Haverhill has so much.
Yeah, I dove into it. Obviously, you can tell.
You know, and that's yeah, not no, even, you haven't even mentioned the power of the Merrimack River, right? I mean, coming through Haverhill and the power that it had developing the entire city, right? Like, I didn't understand that until later on, and really understanding really more of the Industrial Revolution and how it came about and all that stuff. But Haverhill is, you know, and listen, believe me, there are hundreds of kids from BU who never heard about Haverhill, who are always like, hey, Leonardo from Haverhill, right? Like it's just like funny.
Now do they ever call it Haverhill or do they call it Haverhill?
They used to call it Haverhill until I try to correct them, but now they every time they want to make fun of it, they say Haverhill, of course.
Yeah. But, I think to going back to the question why we're doing this is like you put it in your, you know, it's in like it's hearing people's stories of like perseverance and you know, getting those people on here. I think we're all generally like, you know, we started this saying, hey, like, let's just get together. We like to kind of BS with each other and, you know, tell stories from the past and, you know, get some people on that are, you know, interested in like yourself, like the stories and like how you came up. And
yeah,
I think that's the part that we're all kind of fascinated about and telling those stories. And, you know, my brother's hit on it, Brian's hit on it a little bit in getting that out to people, you know, and it gives us also another hour or two just to kind of BS with people and kind of get our minds off the, you know, your day to day, whatever you're, you know, what we're doing, you know.
Look, man, I think you guys are going to come up with two different categories of people, right? That you guys know, ones that are extremely successful and have decided to stay close to home, mm-hmm. right? And have been able to find a way to kind of create a niche for themselves and grow up the corporate ladder or become entrepreneurs. But then you're going to have a huge amount of people that have gone out, right? And have had to make a name for themselves. And I think maybe like me, maybe in this category, it's great to tell these stories because to your point, Brian, maybe somebody listening, a kid in high school or someone listening could be like, holy crap, you know, that's like me, right? I'm a wrestler or something, you know? And I think, you know, however many people are still in Haverhill, I can guarantee you there's exponentially more people who migrated out of Haverhill to pursue a career in X, Y, and Z, and are still fond of their background, they're still fond of their upbringing, are still fond of everything that Haverhill provided them, like I am.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right.
As a CEO, what feedback would you give us for the Three Guys podcast and developing our business?
Brian, yeah, man, so the first thing I'd tell you is, I think you guys have something really unique that could potentially be marketed to local businesses. So what I've seen, I'm a big podcast guy, right? Very big podcast guy. I consume a lot of media and I get a lot of stories and stuff like that from podcasts. And typically what happens is the first couple episodes, there's not commercials. And then, you know, and then you start marketing the brand to, you know, whatever that brand is locally, right? And say, hey, we're growing. We'll let you come on for free. We'll let you come on for a discount. We'll do a commercial. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's kind of how you build your business. But I think that the low-hanging fruit for you guys is literally the region, right? I'm not even talking about Haverhill. I'm talking about Merrimack Valley. And I would actually challenge you to go outside of Haverhill and try to say, hey, you know, Haverhill, Bradford. But then guess what? You know, there's Methuen. My nephews all live in Methuen now. My mother, my sister-in-law lives in Methuen. My brother lives in Methuen. So I don't know. I guess my question is, how could you branch this out to include more people? But I would stick to the core of it, which is in order to get everyone, regardless of where you're from, continue to be interested in it, it has to be about stories. I love stories. I don't know. Yeah. I don't say it has to be. Yeah. I love stories.
Yeah,
I'm a business guy, I'm a CEO, and I love nothing more than to hear a success story, a story of challenge, a story of perseverance, a story of failure. I can learn just as much about a story from failure than I can a story of success. So I think
100%.
You're doing that. I like that.
No, you're right.
I mean, I think, were you going to say something, Derek? I'm sorry.
No, I said you're 100% right. I mean, I think you learn a lot more from your failures than you do, you know, because, you know, you see where people fall on their face and say, okay, well, you know, why? And you learn from that. And that's how people become better. And that's where they get to the next level.
Yeah. You know, and I think about when we talked about, I think it was our first episode, like who do we see on the show? We've touched on that, but you can turn on the news and you fill in the name of who's going to be there. You know, you follow them on Twitter and on they're out there and the message is out there, but you know, you don't, the person who owns Athens Pizza or the person that is involved in building a small hotel here in Haverhill, or you forget the, I feel like the pandemic, everyone's kind of putting themselves into that, and how did that evolve people? And that would be cool, but I think kind of eventually that's going to wear off a little bit. Yeah. So now it's almost like, who can we bring on that has, at least for me personally, and you use it a couple times, the drive, I'm big about that, you know, has a purpose and has intent. I love that about Joy. Joy, she talked about that. I don't know if you heard of Dave Ramsey. I always mention that on the show, but I've become a disciple of Dave Ramsey. And he's all about intention and purpose. And you're not getting any business person you find that's successful. I look at Derek for sure. And I'm only saying Derek because he owns his own law firm. Yeah. You know, you have to hate to lose. But you have to know when you do lose, what do you take from it? I'm in sales. I've never owned my own company other than a t-shirt company when I was in college, which Derek was distribution manager. He never sold a single thing.
That was my first failure.
Look, guys, I'll tell you this, what I try to do, and especially we did this during the pandemic. I sat down with my guys early on and I said, look, in every crisis, there is an opportunity.
Yeah.
And you have to figure out what that opportunity is and see how you can leverage it. No matter how bad the crisis is, no matter if you're in a crunch, no matter you're losing employees, you've got to figure out what that opportunity is. And that's the challenge to you guys, right? Yeah. You're in a world that's extremely competitive. Yeah. You're in a market that's extremely competitive. You got to figure out what that niche is. What is that opportunity? What is that niche, right? And we've all listened to those great podcasts, right? And I've loved being on there. I think you guys are doing a great job at managing the relationship with your guests and also the jokes and also kind of bringing out like the seriousness and then the play nature. I really love that. But ultimately, you have to figure out what that niche is, and you got to always come back. You got to always come back to that niche, right? Like that. And I'm not sitting here telling you what that is, but that's something that you guys are going to have to continue to develop, right?
We talked about the, you know, hitting that Merrimack Valley area and just, you know, focusing on that, but not being totally focused on that area. I said this yesterday in our, you know, the episode that we have, and she's from San Diego, you know, is doing these IG lives and bringing people together that otherwise wouldn't be together, right? So you get someone like Diane who wrote her book, you get someone like Joy who wrote her book, two different people, you know, from, they wouldn't know each other, but getting those on like board, maybe doing an IG live and building those relationships. So, you know, you said it too. If someone is interested in franchising, like we can connect you with someone potentially, and maybe that's a educational process, or maybe that's a business opportunity for that person, right? Right. Someone who's acting maybe can be able to reach out to Joe and who needs their first role. Maybe they go in there, they do a small short film, you know, as well. Like get into just to get an opportunity, it's tough. You got to audition for these things, and it's sometimes you know, whoever you know, they get an opportunity. So like I see that part of it where you can bring these people together, and like the networking comes from that. And like next thing you know, someone from Connecticut is, you know, mingling with someone in, you know, Massachusetts, and we had the girl yesterday. She's a food blogger. Yeah. Like we had Cicely on, her episode will come out next week. She's doing videos, like she has her own YouTube page, she's doing interviews, like that's a connection too. Like that could be her going on there, and they're both helping each other's business as well, right? And what does that connection go to?
I think you're right. And maybe just as a small suggestion, if you guys are open to it, you know, maybe you come up with a question or two that is unique to your podcast that maybe nobody's doing, right? And I think of this, you guys did a great job at asking me. You know, I talked about my failures. Not enough podcasts talk about failures. And even though that's the cornerstone, like literally I am where I am today because I learned from these failures. Mm. You talk so much about what the guy is a CEO and his success. And like, yo, I was a state champ. What they don't, you know, people don't talk about me losing, you know, sophomore year, junior year. They don't talk about every loss you have. So I don't know what that question is, but I definitely got to tell you that I haven't heard of a single podcast that ever asks and focus in on, I want to understand your failure that got you to, like that drove you to this, because ultimately you guys are driven by failure. Believe it or not, I think we're all driven by that one thing that nags at us, man. I don't care if it's that girl in high school who said no at the high school dance, or whether it's, you know, that job I didn't get, or whether that JP Morgan rejection letter, like those continuous failures continue to be, for me at least, what continues to get me to kind of keep wanting to go. And maybe there's a question in there.
You're right.
Listen, people want to hear about that.
Joy last week, she said the same thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she said where she moved to Newark, right? Because of a guy. And she said what her failures were, what triggered her to become better. Mike, where he worked for me for a while, and then he had to take a step back because of the pandemic.
By the way, shout out to Joy. I'm going to bring something up culturally now that we're kind of ad-libbing, having listened to her. One of the interesting questions I would have for Joy is, she talked a little bit about the constraints that she had living up, like first generation, not really first generation, she came over at one, but really growing up in a Nigerian family under a strict household. My question to her is how much of that strict upbringing would have continued if she was a boy? And I only say that because there's some cultures that are much, much, much stricter on females that are growing up than males. I'm a, you know, first generation Dominican. As a male, I had a lot more leeway than my cousins who were Dominicans. Like, it was just like, you weren't allowed this. And I'm sure the same thing for you guys who have cousins or sisters, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, you know what? That's why it's always good to have, like last week when Brian wasn't here, we had myself, Brett, and then his girlfriend on. But it was bringing a woman's point of view to something that interviewing another woman that I wouldn't even thought to ask questions that she brought great questions to. And that's why it's great to have other perspectives that we, you know, sometimes we don't get.
So
that's
David,
a great question.
Are you down for, you're an actor, you're a past actor. Are you down for a little improv?
Do it, bro.
All right, because I got Joy's sister here. So that question, you can push to her. I know you want to ask her that, but you might get some perspective from her.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You guys still recording? Or do you want to stop?
Keep going. Yeah, keep going.
You got Joy's sister?
Yes.
All right, man. Hi.
Hold on one second. I'll bring her right over in a second. Sure.
Actually, she has her own podcast as well.
Great.
Derek has his own one too. So Derek's already.
Yeah,
his own.
I have a break off.
He's already started his own band.
It's called
Hi,
I Hate.
How are you?
No, I said podcast.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm David. What's your name?
My name is Barbara.
Barbara, I had a question because I was listening to your sister. She did an amazing job in a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening and I couldn't help but relate in some way to immigrants who came over and raised their children over here and things of that nature. My question to you and your sister is, do you think your parents would have been as strict with you had you been Nigerian sons as opposed to Nigerian daughters? And are men given a lot more leeway in your culture as they're growing up? Because, you know, according to Joy, she had to hide a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I found it very similar to my Dominican upbringing, where we were given just a ton of leeway compared, not overly, but a lot more than the females in our family.
So I have a cousin. He actually lived with us. I consider him my older brother. Well, he's not older. I'm a year older than him, but he acted like my older brother. So me, my sister, my parents were very strict on us. Like there's a lot of stuff that we couldn't do, but my cousin, he can be like, oh, I'm going out to the mall with my friend. Right. And mom and dad would be like, okay, see you later. Make sure you just come back. If me, my sister did that, then it was like a huge problem. So there was a lot of like unfairness happening in the house. I think at that moment, we didn't really realize until we got older. It was just like, yo, our parents actually did treat us a lot different than the boys in the house.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of gender differences. Mm-hmm. I had a cousin that her freshman year or sophomore year in high school, my older brother was a junior. She came to high school with a skirt on that was too short. My brother drove her home to make her change.
Mm.
Like, mm-hmm. think about that. Like, mm-hmm. my brother was empowered by my aunts and uncles to tell my cousin what she could wear in school. Yeah. And it just, it seemed like women were... I don't know if it's protected. I definitely think they were protected but men were given a lot more leeway growing up. So it's interesting that there's a lot of similarities there. But I thought of that when I was listening to Joy's story. It's an amazing story of your family.
Mm-hmm, It is. And even like thinking about it, like I think for us, I can only speak for my own experience. I think my parents were trying to raise me and my sister to get ready for marriage and not so much for the boys in the house. Got so it. There's a lot of like, you have to learn how to cook. You have to dress like a lady. You have to act certain, you have to do act like a certain way in order for you to get marriage, because a lot of the conversation we had with our parents had always involved with marriage. But when it came down to the boys, because I have two younger brothers, they didn't have the same upbringings as me, my sister. Like they were free to do whatever they want, they're boys. So yeah. It was a lot different for them.
Yeah, a lot of gender differences. Yes,
so Barb, I have a mm-hmm. follow-up question too. She specifies the West African.
Mm-hmm.
Why did she do that? And would someone else, could that offend someone? I guess I'm trying to say if they're not West African. I was trying to do the math on that. Mm-hmm. I didn't get that.
So no, we wouldn't get offended if someone says if they weren't from West Africa. I think for us, a lot of the countries in West Africa are very similar. We have like similar food, culture. Mm-hmm. Compared to like someone from Egypt or Congo or wherever they're from. So a lot of times we had like, I know for me, like I do like a huge emphasis, like, oh, I'm West African. So just to let them know, like we are a little bit different. I mean, we're all similar, but I think for the West African culture, we have a lot of similarities together. So it's not like it's not a big deal at all.
It's like saying you're from New England.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not a big deal at all. It's just something that we're just like more proud of. Like, I guess like I know Nigerians are very proud to say.
So
like,
if I was in Europe, African. I would say I'm from the US, but I'm a New Englander,
mm-hmm.
not a New Yorker, or I'm not a Floridian or something like that.
It's like West Side, East Side, you know what I mean? Like
I'm from Haverhill, not Bradford.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, here we go. Well, it's funny when you go away though, right? If I go away, I always say from Boston. I don't say.
Well, actually, funny story, Barbie. You gotta listen to this. Mm-hmm. The three of us are in Daytona Beach in college, and this happened so many times since then, Derek. I don't even remember. We were in a cab.
Yeah,
I think it was Whitey Bulger driving the cab. That's kind of how Boston the guy was. And we were driving along, and he's like, "Where are you kids from?" "We're from Boston." "Oh, we're in Boston. We're from Haverhill." He looked at us like, You're not from Boston.
you always tell people that. It makes sense.
This is more recently. I was working with a client, and I was at the time selling Boston, and she goes, "Where are you? Where are you from?" "Oh, I'm from the north. I'm from the North Shore." She goes, "I'm from Ipswich. Where are you from?"
Wow.
"From Haverhill."
"Not North Shore." Well, you know what, David? If you really want to get more of what. You know, Bob Earn, she has her own podcast called According to Us.
And
she, you know, talks a lot with her friends and stuff like that. They go into detail. You know, I learned a lot about Barbara that she brought her own food when she went to.
What's the
Where was it again? You went to Barbara? Where did you try?
No, we went to Turks and Caicos. Yeah, we did a lot of research on YouTube of like what to do and what to bring. And everyone said, bring your own food. So we ended up like, yes, we're going to bring our own food to Turks and Caicos, which is great. It was great. We saved a lot of money that way. So
I have one of my really, really close friends from Boston University is Nigerian. The family unit is just so tight. It's amazingly tight. I mean, he lives up in Brooklyn now. He's in media, but you know, he speaks so highly of his family. And like, I'm talking still like him and his mom and his dad and his brothers are just like, so it does seem like the family unit is extremely important, regardless of where you go and where you live, and, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's really nice. What's the theme of your theme of your podcast?
So it was me and two of my best friends. We all grew up together. We're all West African. I'm Nigerian, and both of my best friends are Ghanaians. So basically, we just talk about like just life, different things that we go through. As West Africans, especially living in America, because I'm the only one that was born in Nigeria, but it's just like going through the identity of being African, being raised in America. So we just go through different topics.
Got it.
So it's fun.
Awesome.
I'm learning as I'm going. So
yeah. I'm going to have to get my friend to check out your podcast.
Oh yes, please, please.
Absolutely.
Please. We're really funny. So he might.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I think that's one of the great things also about traveling. I've always said that the best thing you could ever do for anyone is to make them put a passport in their hand.
Yes.
If you ever want this world to be a better place, like demand that people travel abroad. I really, really honestly believe that, because talk about breaking down whatever stereotypes you have of people and breaking down whatever stereotypes they have of you, right?
Yes, yeah.
Americans, right? Like, you know, they, and so I think that's something that's beautiful about this world, that we live in a world where travel is actually easier. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're going through pandemic, but Brian, you said it, you can't wait to get on a plane. Me and my wife have made it a pact to travel to a different country every year. You know, and now that we have kids, we're going to be bringing them along. But I think that's just something that's so important. And without knowing, without lecturing my kids, I think that just by them experiencing these different cultures, it'll just do what I don't need to lecture them on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, 100% right. More people need to do that. I think that's what the problem is in this this world. There's a lot of people not doing that. They stay in a bubble and they don't want to leave the bubble and they don't want to travel or do well. And I have a lot of friends. I said, why would you want to go to Europe? I've been to Italy twice, and I'd like to go back to Europe. Why wouldn't you? Well, you know, I heard it's this, I heard it's that. Yeah. They already have stereotypes in their head before they even get there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, well, I know France. Well, they're snotty, or they don't like America. I mean, how do you know? You're going to go there, right? I mean, what's the worst thing that's going to happen, right? Someone's going to laugh at you. I won't know they're laughing at me anyways, right? They're speaking French, whatever. throw me a croissant, and I'll be happy. I don't care. You know, I mean, being serious. I mean, so that's what people already have misconceptions. And that's the problem, right, David? I think you hit it right in the head. You know, people need to get out and experience other cultures and other countries.
I mean, one of the cool things, though, if you guys think about it, when we were growing up, what was the most diverse food you ever could get? I think it was Chinese food. Like, really, if you think about it, you never had sushi growing up. You never had African food, never mind West African, right? Like, so... Mm-hmm. You know, you grow up and you start going to New York and you start going to different markets and you start talking about, wow, this is Ethiopian food. What are you talking about? This is like, and so you start getting into nuances of food and culture and stuff. And I like to think that we have evolved as a culture, because before it was like everybody was Chinese if you're from Asia. Now, literally, we know the difference, right? I mean, if you don't know the difference, then shame on you. Right. And so if you're from Latin America and you speak Spanish, no longer are you considered Mexican. Right. You're like, hey, so where are you from? Right. Like, you know, and if somebody automatically considers you, you know, Mexican or Puerto Rican, then shame on them that they didn't do enough to educate themselves on the differences. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing goes for people who think that all Americans are the same. Right. When they travel abroad. So I think that's what's interesting.
What's interesting, people that we've had on this show, and Diane made a joke that she was the first woman. I think you're the first Latino.
Okay. There you go. Look at that.
First wrestler too. So no, but you know, we it's funny, we weren't looking at that, and then Brad made a good point. Like, you know, how do we, you know, without help us make, you know, help people gravitate towards us if we, when we hit these certain demographics. It's funny, we're not even doing it intentionally, right? But we've done it. You know, we've done some, you know, again, it's this talent. Everyone has the same story, not the same story, but the similar journey. It doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. You know, everyone has that.
I already like you better, Barbara, than Brett right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Barbara, how many followers do you have on Instagram? You have more or less than 362.
Well, first of all, Barbara, you're more interesting, Barbara.
Barbara, where were you when Brett was calling me about acting classes down here in Miami?
She was ignoring his call in Connecticut.
I mean, I don't even know how many followers I have, but, you know, probably like, I'm not nowhere close to what Joy has, but I do have probably, I just hit 1,000 a couple days ago. So, but that's it. It's not too impressive. What,
your followers on Instagram?
Yeah.
You just hit 1,000? Like that's something small?
Yes.
I don't even have a 1,000.
By the way, speaking of Instagram, did you guys see that documentary on Netflix on social media? And I think it's called The Social Dilemma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing nowadays with the stuff they have going on.